Okay, good morning everybody. Parashat Ki Tavo. One of the main things of the parasha, again a lot of mitzvahs here in the parasha, but one of the basic thing is the beginning. We were talking about Ki Tetze. We're talking about Shoftim Veshotrim. Shoftim Veshotrim, policemen and judges you will put on your gates, and we explain this is the gates of the body. You should look in good directions, shouldn't look at bad things, you shouldn't take out bad things out, and you should, of course, take in only the good, and you put on your gates of the body, if it's the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, you put policemen and judges to know what's coming in and what's coming out. And sometimes, the next parasha was Ki Tetze, you should go out on war. War against who? Against Yetzer Hara. And then, we are standing now really 2 weeks
before Rosh Hashanah. Mm-hmm.
And then it's Ki Tavo, when we will come and stand in front of God. How do we come? Empty-handed? Ki Tavo el ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha noten lecha nachala v'yirishta v'yashavta v'lakachta mereishit kol pri adama. The famous mitzvah of Bikurim, the first fruit of Shivat Amanim, you bring to God. Now, the Torah is not a story, as we always say. It's something to teach us. So now, what is the Torah trying to teach us with this mitzvah that now doesn't even exist? There is no Beit HaMikdash, unfortunately. Who are we going to bring the Bikurim? Who? So why do we have to learn it? So of course we have to learn it in order that when the time will come, Beit HaMikdash will come very soon, as quickly as possible. But there is much more. Is the mitzvat Bikurim today? What is mitzvat Bikurim today? What is the Bikurim today? You haven't got the temple to bring the first fruit, but the idea of Bikurim is, imagine yourself this guy working on the field. He is putting the seed in. He is watering it, looking after it. It takes years. It goes to a tree. And then years till you have a fruit. And then after you have the fruit, what do you want the first thing?
To eat.
Taste the fruit. What is the Torah tells you? No. The first fruit, who do you give to?
God.
To God. What's the idea behind it? Imagine to yourself, you buy something nice to your kid, or to your grandson, granddaughter, a toy, a sweet, doesn't matter what. And it's something that they want very much. So the first thing they will do, if it's a toy, they will play with it. If it's a sweet, they will eat it. Imagine to yourself that instead of playing with it or eating it, they say, Abba, Ima, Saba, Safta, you first. What will be your feeling now? Unbelievable. That's mitzvat Bikurim. That's the idea of mitzvat Bikurim. The first thing to God, our Father in heaven. So if we will think about it, when we wake up in the morning, what is the first thing we do? Thank God. Thank God. First of all, God. And especially in things that we want and love and put a lot in efforts into it. If we give the first thing, the first joy to God, this means that we love God. And if we love God, God of course loves us. But if we do it this way, we will feel the love of God. So in order to go and stand in front of the Kodesh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, what should we do? Prepare. This is the first thing of the year. So it should be to God. We have to prepare ourselves properly. And that's the idea of mitzvat Bikurim. So it exists today. Nevertheless, it's very important. It's, let's say, one of the most important mitzvah that there is. And there are a lot of things to talk about it. But because we are standing 2 weeks in front of Rosh Hashanah, and I want to, let's say, to make us all a little more prepared. But don't forget, next week, I won't be a shiur because I have to go on an exhibition in Shanghai. But and Bezrat Hashem before Rosh Hashanah we'll have a shiur. What is the idea of Rosh Hashanah? What is the idea of the first thing we understand? There are a lot of beautiful blessings in our parsha, but unfortunately there are also not so nice things. But I want to tell you a story of Rosh Hashanah. There was this guy, he came on early Rosh Hashanah to shul. And you know, you have places in shul, especially in Yamim Noraim, Rosh Hashanah, everybody's got his own spot where he's going to sit. And he comes, and he looks at the map where he should sit, and he sees there's somebody else written there. But they gave him this place. Now there's a problem. Two people on the same seat. What do you do? They go to the Gabbai. Says, Gabbai, look what you did. You did a mistake. Says, he said, unfortunately, there are no more places. I don't know what to say. Tonight, maybe, not everybody came to shul, so there might be a place on the back, but I cannot put you both on the same seat, and I did a mistake, I'm sorry. What can I do? So, what can they do? One sits on the back, and the other one sits on the seat. He goes home and goes to sleep. And he dreams a dream. And in his dream, he's walking on a long way, a road, and suddenly he hears noise. And he sees trucks, big trucks coming behind him, like really rushing. So he moves quickly from the road that nothing will happen to him. And those are black, big lorries. And they're riding one, and another one, and another one. Then, it's a little quiet, and he walks, and suddenly he hears noise, a nicer noise. He sees a white limousine comes near him, big one, with a lot of people in it. Then another one, and another one. And then he approaches this center, and he sees the white limousines on the right side, and the black lorries on the other side. And he sees that there are really the written things on the lorries and on the limousines, and we're talking about angels. There are black angels and white angels. And in the middle there is this, you know, when you put on weight, and how do you call it?
A scale.
You know, the old scale that you have? Yeah. You have one side, others, and there is this, those very impressive person sitting in front like a beastie. And suddenly he realizes that on the black lorries there's written stealing, not waking up in the morning, all sins. Every lorry's got a different sin written on it. And when he looks at the angels, he sees some of the angels are big, and some of them are small. Some of them, unfortunately, have got no hand. So he looks at the other side, and he sees that on the limousines, written a mitzvah, the after hakamocha, Shabbos, tzedakah, and also there he sees big angels and small angels. And then he sees that the black angels are starting moving into the scale, and they went to this, what, like a huge, a huge plate, and they go on the plate, and of course it all goes to the, and he's asking somebody, what's going on here? He says, what, you don't know? It's Rosh Hashanah. It's somebody's being judged here. It's a trial. The Beis Din is standing and they're trialing. He said, and then he sees, like, the scale is like this, on the black side, on the sin side. And then the Beis Din call to the other angels, which are the mitzvahs. And he sees the scales going a little down, but still,
it's way up.
So he's asked, who is on trial here? He says, what do you mean? What do you think you're doing here? It's your trial. He says, my trial. Now he's getting very nervous. Now he's looking very carefully what's happening. He says, move, move. He's called to the little white angels. Come on, come on. And they're going on. And the scale starts thinking, but all the angels went up. Unfortunately, it's not enough. So the Beis Din is looking, Rasha, what can we do with him? Oh, 1 minute. Maybe he had Yisurim. Maybe he suffered. And if you suffer, it goes to the good side. Instead, it's like a punishment that clears your sins. And you see more than white motorcycles coming in, the Yisurim, angels going up, and they're going on the scale. And the guy explains to him, you see, the big angels are, when you did a mitzvah with all your soul and body and all the parts, that's a big angel. If you did the mitzvah like, so it's a small angel. And if you did the mitzvah with no tension at all, so you see this one's got no arm, the other one's got no leg. And the same thing is with the sins. If you do a sin with all your heart, you have this giant black angel. And if not, so. And now the Yisurim coming in, it's the same story. So he's looking now, this is he. It's not a joke. He's standing on trial here. So he looks, and it really goes, but unfortunately, it's not equal. It's not balanced. So the Beis Din looks and says, oh, what are we going to do? He says, you know what? We're going to give him another try. We're going to put somebody else on his seat. He wakes up. He is the first one in shul. He sees the gabbai. Let him sit there. I'm sitting in the back. I don't want to sit here. You know, it's a nice story. And every year I remember this story and I tell this story because this is really what's happening. That's what's happening on Rosh Hashanah. But in order to understand it, we have to put a picture in front of us. The same way as we said with Har Grizim and Har Eval, which are also mentioned in our Parsha. One mountain was the blessing mountain and the other one was the cursing mountain. And the idea here was, what's the idea? Why do you put half here, half here? We talked about the thing last week. The idea is for us to understand that we are standing in the middle. And whatever we're going to do now is going to change the balance. Half here, half there. And it's in our power to change the balance, not only of what's happening with us, but what's happening with the whole world. Because the idea is that we have to understand and realize that if the Rambam says the whole world is balanced and we are balanced, so if each one of us will do now a mitzvah, what's going to happen? The whole world is going to be saved. If we're going to sin, the whole world is going to suffer. Now, if you look at it this way, it's a lot of responsibility, and you start thinking to yourself, how can I do this? So I'll tell you another story. How can you do this? There was this guy, he had a business. He used to buy from the wholesalers and sell to the end user. So he comes to the wholesaler, he wants to take stuff, takes like big quantities, but then the Balabus, the owner, he looks at the books and he says, one minute. You know, you have care of debt. You already took a few times, didn't pay your debts. I cannot give you again. So the guy is starting crying, how am I going to give panoso to my kids and the thing? I need it, I promise you, I'm going to pay. So he's willing already to give, but then all the workers say, if you give him, we stop working. Well, what, this is a joke? This guy comes to you year after year, month after month, takes stuff, doesn't pay, you want to give him more? Impossible, you cannot do this. They're arguing. Suddenly somebody came in and says, 1 minute, let me find a solution for you. See, this guy, if you won't give him anything, what's going to happen?
He's going to starve.
He's going to starve, and his kids, and who knows what. So, you know, we need to help him. From the other side, if you're going to give him this big quantity, again, he's not going to pay. It's because he hasn't got the power. It's too much. You know, sometimes in business, also, we take too much on ourselves, and then we went bankrupt because we took too much, and we couldn't make the profit. So what do? Give him a small quantity. Instead of a lorry, give him a small
box.
Let him sell the box. Come and pay, and take another box. Then pay, and take another box. And this way, everybody's going to be happy. That's the mashup. What's the idea? We're standing in front of God and promising things. Oh, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to do, and we're going, and eventually, what do?
Nothing.
Is this nice? Is this right business? So God is going to stand there and says, 1 minute. You promised me 1 year ago, 2 years ago, didn't deliver. Why do you think I should give you again? And the angel going to say, yes, you're quite right, you shouldn't give him. But then comes a good angel and says, you know what, why do you promise such big promises? Promise something small. And if you promise something small, you can do it. You did a one mitzvah, come back here, Kodesh Baruch, I did it. Take another mitzvah. And this way you do tshuva. In other words, when we stand in Rosh Hashanah in front of God, and as we said, come with something. Don't come with nothing. You cannot come with nothing. When you come in front of God, you have to give a present. You have to give something. But something that you can do. Don't promise what you cannot deliver. In other words, so they say, I saw this joke last week. It's not a nice joke. This guy did a nether to bring a lot of money to shul. And when the Gaboim came to him to take the money, I don't want to pay. He says, well, what do you mean you don't want to pay? You did a nether. So I said, I did a nether, but I tell you the truth. You know, the Gemara in Nedarim says that if a guy does a nether and doesn't pay, his wife is going to die. And my wife is an evil wife. So I'm not going to pay. It's an ugly joke, but never mind. It's a joke.
Give this idea to everybody.
Yes. Anyway.
Let's have it done as per the way today. Yeah.
Maybe it goes both ways. Yes. Anyway.
They ask, why do most Jewish men die before their wives? They say because they want to.
Yes, there are a lot of jokes. Anyway, so you see, it's not so hard. What we have to do is take on ourselves something small. And though we promised a lot of promises, didn't deliver, this is our chance. And that's what God wants. God wants us to show Him that, Ki tetzeh le-milchama, as we said last week, go on the war, go out and do something, but don't stay and do nothing. You cannot sit like nothing is happening. This is, as we said, that's the judgment day. You are going to be judged what's going to happen with you next year. And we all want to have a good, nice year. So God tells you, no problem. I know who you are, and I all know your problems. Do something. Promise something. It says like, some people, you know, they promise, like a doll. When you do a cake, you have the door, you put a hole in the door. What happens 2 minutes later? There is nothing there. But when you take a wood or metal and you do drill a hole through, it's going to stay. Doesn't mean that you don't have to have a big drill, a small drill. But still, it stays. And that's the idea. Let us really do something good for God. You know, you can choose whatever you want. For example, people, you know, when we do a bracha. How do we do the bracha? You know, some people says the bracha. It doesn't matter what you choose. What did he say?
Nothing.
He doesn't even know what he said. So, you still said, Baruch Atash, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, She'akol Nia Bidvaro, you did everything. Oh, that's already a good Kabbalah. You see, we have gates. That when with those gates, we go to the good place, to the next year. But you have to open the gate. There are small gates, big gates. But even if it's a small gate, if you open the gate, are you in? That's what God wants. Open the gate. Pitchu li petach kechudo shel machat, eftach lachem petach kepitcho shel olam. You open a needle hole, and I will open you the whole place. As we said. But it has to go duch and duch, as we say. Not only on the surface, but in.
It has to go all the way through.
All the way. You decide what it is. Everybody should decide before Rosh Hashanah a small thing. And this small thing we have to keep. You know, it can be sometimes, you know, when we go out of the toilet, we say a blessing. So people also say, so take on ourselves to do it. You give tzedakah. How do you give tzedakah? Take. No. We're going to think about what we're doing. We're going to give the tzedakah with all the intention. It's not hard. Everybody can choose whatever he wants. And this is the idea. Ki tavo el haaretz. When we come and stand in front of God, we have to understand we're standing in front of tribe. But the king of all kings is not only our king, he's also our father. How would he say? Avinu Malkeinu. What is Avinu Malkeinu?
Our father. Okay.
What would we say first? Avinu.
Father.
Our father.
Your princes.
Because we want, first of all, to approach the Kodesh Baruch Hu as our father. Then he will have mercy on us. He's our father. Then he's also our king. And it's very interesting. What is this combination? A father wants to give everything to his kids. But can he give everything?
No.
A king can give everything, but he's not our father. So if our father, who wants to give us everything, is also the king of all kings that can deliver everything, so what do we say here? God, you are our father, you want to give us. And you are our king, so you can give us. But if we say this and ask this, what should we do first? Here, we gave you a present. The first thing, Reshit Pri Adama. Now, if you have any questions, as we say, I left a few minutes for questions or anything that you want to ask of. You see, if you want next week, or next, not next week, 2 weeks behind, if you want, we can go on like do it the same shiur as we do always, or we can, as we you asked me once, that you want to be open discussion on things. So you can choose, if maybe one of you will choose a subject, or you want to ask questions, whatever. It's nice, because this way it's more interesting. It's not like I'm standing, sitting and talking and nobody participate. It's much interesting, and that's why we can learn. So it's in your hand. You decide. Okay? Vakasha, all the best.
Shana tova.
Shana tova, k'tiva v'chatima tova.
Amen.